science. The facts are with science. Science is real. Science is real. Science is real. Science is real.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome again to Splice, Dominican's Radio's one and only science variety show here on radio.dominican.edu every Monday night from 6 to 7. Whether I want to be here or not, I will be talking into this microphone about all the things that interest me. I'm kidding. I always want to be here. But if you're wondering who the I is, I am Cersei. Good evening, everyone. Welcome again to Splice, Dominican Radio's one and only science variety show, coming to you live from the studio on Dominican University's campus. I am your host, Tortula, who will be leading you, as usual, every Monday night from 6 to 7 through the world of science to cover everything I find interesting, a couple things that maybe are groundbreaking, and also hopefully a good humor. So, in case you didn't listen last week, this week's episode is going to focus on stem cells, and specifically the genetics of stem cells. Now, in case you missed the last couple episodes talking about genetics, here's a brief overview, what you want to call all you need to know about genetics in 2 minutes. All right, first of all, genetics is based off of a code of nucleotides in DNA. DNA stands for deoxyribonucleic acid. DNA is the stuff in your cells, in the middle, run it all, tells every other part of the cell what to do, what to make, what to build. It's basically the el presidente of the cell. And it has all of this written into its code. It's your genetic fate. And this DNA is then translated by a bunch of little mechanisms through transcription and later to translation into proteins. And these proteins are all the molecules and enzymes and things which makes your body go, which gives you energy to run around or not run around or talk or sit and listen. So I think that was the first 30 seconds of my blather about all you need to know about genetics to begin our discussion of stem cell genetics. The next 30 seconds is going to talk about things that can happen to DNA, and most importantly, the things that can arrange DNA. So you might think of DNA as, oh, this very nice orderly string of just letters. Wrong. DNA is actually full of tons of twists and turns. It's wrapped around these molecules called histones, and this conformation is constantly changing within the DNA. So you don't have this sort of stagnant, consistent structure, but rather this very fluid and dynamic and changing system based off of the conformation of the DNA. And this actually changes throughout a cell's life. So for example, a cell during replication actually has two sets of DNA running around in itself compared to what it would normally have. And a cell in G0 phase, where it's not doing anything, where it's very stagnant, has this very loose blob of DNA. And as the cell goes through reproduction, it actually coils up really, really tight into chromosomes, so it can move around pretty effectively and divide evenly without getting all tangled. However, because of this constant fluid dynamic, changing, beautiful, complex, swirling, whirling structure of DNA and not a straight line, it means that the DNA can be influenced by this structure. And this is extremely important in stem cells, mostly because we don't realize how much our DNA differs in its arrangement between different cells, except when we compare it to the stem cell, which has very little or relatively little arrangement of DNA, and especially very little of that arrangement is actually cemented into the DNA itself. So, to summarize, DNA is a sequence of nucleotides which sets up a sequence of proteins, and proteins are very, very important and pretty much determine who you are and how your body reacts to things and even how your neurons function. Very, very important to have the right proteins in the right places doing the right things for your body to function well. So, the DNA controls everything. The DNA, however, is not some imperial ruler sitting very calmly on a throne or some computer hard drive just spitting out information. The DNA is more like a very, very smart and well-programmed gymnast. And it's constantly twisting and turning and rearranging itself and conforming it in different ways as to respond to its environment. And in this way, it can control how the cell looks at it, how what proteins are expressed, and things like that. So, you might be thinking to yourself, well, that's all well and good. We have DNA. Our DNA is pretty mobile. That's kind of cool. What does this have to do with stem cells? Well, what is the difference, you might be questioning, between the stem cell that started out with everything and the stem cells under your skin and your skin itself? Well, many scientists support the idea that it's actually this twisting and turning and changing of the conformation of DNA. As I mentioned in a previous show, DNA has methylation and histone tags are changed, which can turn on and off or make sections more or less accessible. However, this process isn't necessarily reversible, or it wasn't that reversible, at least, until stem cells were discovered. And even some of those stem cells, it's not actually reversible in. So let's start with the basic embryonic stem cell, which is probably what you're most familiar with. An embryonic stem cell is a stem cell which is taken before from a small group of cells. Usually it's in the 8-cell stage to be considered a stem cell in humans. Some mouse stem cells are taken earlier, but it is your first cells, really. These are the cells which, after your mommy and daddy, or after your mommy and a sperm donor, or something along those lines, however it happens, wild, natural, with the aid of technology, after the egg and the sperm meet and reactions take place and you finally take two half of chromosomes and create one complete entire new individual and genetically unique individual, you have this beautiful cell that can turn and make itself into any cell in your entire body. That's pretty exceptional for a cell. But why does this change? Well, as you grow, your cells have to become more and more specialized to take care of all your body's various needs. So your original stem cell starts to separate and divide and divide and divide, and you end up with 8 cells. And any of these 8 cells still have the potential to become any cell in your body. A stem cell, an embryonic stem cell. However, this is a rare thing. Like our youth, our cells also have their youth, their time of infinite potential, which just flies by so quick that in a blink of an eye, it's lost. And these cells go into a blastocyst. This is a ball of cells which is made out of stem cells, and into which the stem cells will start to fold. And in this way, you end up with three distinct layers in your body. You have the ectoderm, the endoderm, and the mesoderm. So, the endoderm, to begin with, like it sounds, endo, is the inside internal layer of this primary germ cell layers. Now, why does this differ from a normal stem cell? Well, in this case, the endoderm has begun to differentiate already while you're still this little ball of cells before you're even a human. And in this differentiation, it starts to limit what it can become. The endoderm eventually develops into lung cells, thyroid cells, pancreatic cells, and most of the inside muscles and tissues and digestive tract. The muscles of the digestive tract, excuse me. So there's also two other layers. There is the ectoderm, which turns into your nerves and spine and brain and hair and nails and all the things that you need to prance around very, very prettily on the mouse or on the prom night. So even if you're a mouse, you have an ectoderm, which makes your fur all pretty on the prom night. And in this way, you have two of those layers covered now, your ectoderm and your endoderm, which leaves the mesoderm, the middle layer, which forms your voluntary muscles and your cardiac muscles, as well as your red blood cells. So this is the beginning of differentiation, is these three major germ cells layers. This means that these three different germ cell layers are the beginning of differentiation. And what is recently discovered is that these differentiation occur and they actually cause a major shift in the DNA. So if you look at this under a microscope using recent techniques, you can actually watch these markers kind of hop around in the DNA as it twists and turns and gets tighter in some areas and looser in some areas, and then gets methylated and chemically changed in other areas so that they're less accessible to other things that'll translate into proteins. Pretty cool. So because of this need to specialize, you lose those very special infinite potential stem cells, which is considered a tragedy in modern medicine, but not a tragedy for your body, since you get the increased efficiency and use and all of that that comes with differentiated cells. So don't think that all is lost, though. Some of these mesoderm, endoderm, and ectoderm tissues stick around, and some differentiate a little bit more. But ultimately, no matter what, you usually have stem cells hanging around in different areas of your body, and this helps to replenish cells as you lose them. So you might have a specialized ectoderm stem cell lying under your skin, and as your skin constantly gets brushed off, constantly, 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 the stem cell pops into action, makes little daughter cells, these daughter cells, go off, make skin, and the stem cell remains in your body, which provides a lot of hope for medical genetics, and that we can still have access to these adult stem cells. These adult stem cells are hard to track down, though. It's very difficult to go into a body and try to just pluck out and isolate these cells. However, if possible, these cells might be able to be multiplied in culture and then reinserted into a patient. This means that a patient, for example, who has a heart disease or a heart condition where some of the heart muscle dies, would, luckily enough for him, perhaps be able to pluck out a stem cell from that, grow it up a couple hundredfold, and then put it straight back into his heart, though all these stem cells would not survive, the immune system would not reject these cells since they are in fact genetically identical to that patient. These are also present in other systems behind the heart muscles, so do not despair even if your liver dies or things like that. There's a lot of potential to utilize your own adult stem cells for very specialized purposes. However, they do not have the ability to turn into any cell, and there are a lot of risks, like where can you find these cells? Will they mutate if they're induced to grow faster? As you age, do these cells start to decline in number, population? Do they die off? If we have these abilities to have infinitely renewing cells in our body, why do not they not infinitely renew anyways? So, on that note, on that puzzling question, I'm going to take a brief break, and when we come back, I'll talk a little bit about some of the more interesting recent developments. And then we'll discuss the news of day. All right, thank you. See you soon.